The views and opinions expressed in the Distracted Librarians podcast do not necessarily reflect those of Bloomfield Township, Bloomfield Township Public Library, Bloomfield Community Television, the Birmingham Area Cable Board, or its producers or production staff.
Hello and welcome. We're the Distracted Librarians, your friendly neighborhood bookworms who can't resist the siren call of movies, video games, music, and everything else in the pop culture universe.
Think of this podcast as a digital campfire where we share our latest obsessions, analyze the hidden depths of our favorite distractions, and maybe rediscover the joy of reading in between.
So, if you're a fellow media junkie, a book lover, or someone looking for a fun, engaging escape from your daily grind, you've come to the right place.
Sit back, relax, and prepare to get delightfully distracted with us.
On today's episode of Distracted Librarians, we are going to be talking about graphic novels. So I just wanted to go really briefly over the history and some terminology of what a graphic novel is. It seems to be something that a lot of people don't necessarily understand. So we'll get like a really good explanation under our feet before we get running. So I have pulled up a description from the Encyclopedia Britannica, and they have described a graphic novel as a long comic narrative for mature audiences, published in hardback or paperback and sold in bookstores, with serious literary themes and sophisticated artwork. I don't know if that actually describes what a graphic novel is to us.
Mm-hmm. No.
I think, well, that gives a very specific, like, loftiness, I think, to...
Well, of course, it's Encyclopedia.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah,
they're
sure,
trying to
yeah.
make it seem like this is a legitimate thing.
Right, yeah. But yeah. I think, what did it say? Can you read again the part? No, just the art style? What did it say?
Sophisticated artwork.
Okay. Which means what exactly? I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, but.
Yeah.
That's fine. I think that there are a lot of different art styles. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah. Well, so I think that, you know, today we're going to discuss what graphic novels mean to us, because clearly that description doesn't really make sense. But before we can talk about graphic novels, we should also mention comics, right? So comics, the description of comics, or the from Encyclopedia Britannica, is a periodical for children, published on a weekly or monthly basis, sold at newsstands or specialty comic book stores, often with pages devoted to advertising, and when intended for younger readers, sometimes has competitions or puzzles.
At this point, I don't know that definition really fits. I use comics and graphic novels pretty interchangeably because so many of the things that, especially that we see in kids' graphic novels, are just things that were originally published as web comics or comic books that have been bound together into mm-hmm. just a longer work. Rather than buying them, you know, every week or month or however often they come out, you can get them all at once.
Yeah, there's a lot that's the same on the adult side. I always think of Saga, where mm-hmm. they have individual issues that come out, and then volumes that are every 6 issues that are bound, and then books that are every 16 issues. They just did a compendium that's the first 54 issues.
Sure.
All in, like, individually bound books.
Well, and yeah. I wonder, too, if that doesn't speak to the genesis of... how we used to get them, or how they used to be printed, mm-hmm. where, like, I'm thinking of, like, things like Webtoon or mm-hmm. you know, whatever, that you can get comic style or graphic novel style content that's digital or available online. But I remember my dad going to, like, whatever, like, convenience store or whatever, and getting my brother and me, like, just single issues of, like,
sure.
Teenage Mutant Ninja yeah. Turtles or yeah. whatever it was.
And you would have to stay tuned and wait for the next mm-hmm. part of the story. And it was, yeah. you know, a weekly publication or monthly or something like that, for
yeah.
sure. So
there's some historical and like, context, I think, to that, too, that we've now gone beyond as far as the medium
certainly
is concerned. But
well, and I think publishers have realized that there's going to be a great deal more money in being able to hand out something that's like an omnibus of all of the comics that came before. Mm-hmm. Because unless you're a collector and you're going to go in search of these individual copies for a specific reason, isn't it just so much nicer to have the whole book in front of you that you can just read from front to back and you know the whole story and it's all there?
Well, and go ahead, Kim.
And they're generally just more durable. Mm-hmm. Like those comic books are really fragile, mm-hmm. and graphic novels, while not the sturdiest of books that we see, like
in most cases,
are more sturdy than those comic books.
Also, just from a library shelving perspective, it's different on the adult side because, you know, youth side does have books that are only 20 or 30 pages, but we really don't. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't make sense to, even if we could purchase a comic book and put it on the shelf with the rest of the things that get lost in the flow.
Absolutely.
Oh, and it's like you said, Kelly, I mean, it's going to be ripped apart and mm-hmm. just by shelving, because they are, well, and I think the intended usage, but is not supposed to be
multiple usage.
You know.
Yeah, like it's, I mean, yeah, you could let your friends borrow your comic book and, you know, hopefully it comes back, that kind of thing, but it's never going to last a library environment.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay, well, so, you know, let's talk a little bit. I think that it's important to kind of mention that graphic novels came from the essence of what comic books were. Mm-hmm. You know, comic books being something that was a periodical that came out periodically. Ha ha ha. But then also, you know, turning into something that tells a little bit more of a different story. I think comic books, you know, they have a very specific genre, or they did have a very specific genre when they were something that was happening. Like, we're looking at superheroes, mm-hmm. and that sort of, you know, line of storytelling. Graphic novels kind of surpass the superheroes. I mean, they're still there, trust mm-hmm. me. There's plenty of graphic novels that have lots of superheroes and have that comic book flavor. Mm-hmm. But the graphic novels of today are really able to tell a story, biographical information. We've got nonfiction graphic novels. We've got things that are all different genres, which is really mm-hmm. cool.
And just to tell a full, you know, story structure, beginning, middle, and end, there are, you know, comic book series that will have their own narrative arcs, and there are graphic novels that will come out with, you know, volume upon volume, but a lot of the ones that I consider some of my favorites are, you know, one-offs that tell their own complete story within.
Yeah, I was going to say that same thing, and I wonder if that's kind of the difference, because comic books, the original intention, like we said, is sort of to be the serialized, continued telling of this particular story, but the graphic novel is like, okay, there's the beginning, the middle, and the end, and it's condensed into this one section that tells the whole narrative, however long or short that might be.
Mm-hmm. I think to an extent, it's also just trying to separate itself from the origin as comic books. There's, even in the early days of comic books, there was a lot of disdain for the genre, for the format, and that's carried over into today.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of times graphic novel gets used because it separates it and it sounds more legitimate. When you could argue that both forms are legitimate, they bring different things to the table.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So really, really quickly, I just want to mention that, you know, there's a lot of information about where graphic novels started from, but a lot of people that study this kind of thing discuss Eisner's A Contract with God and other Tenement stories as being the original graphic novel, and supposedly the most important early example of what that is in the United States, and that was published in 1978. But then, you know, from the mid to late 80s, then we started moving into a boom of adult comics slash graphic novels that were able to be kind of put into a larger book structure. And that's Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns in 1986, Alan Moore's Watchmen, 1986 to 1987, and then the Pulitzer Prize winning Mouse series, and that was done by Art Spiegelman in 1980 all the way to 1986. So here we're starting to actually see the graphic novel as a format and it's really starting to move away from its predecessing, you know, format of comic books.
Right.
And even though Watchmen and The Dark Knight Returns are both superhero-based stories, there is a difference here, and they're, you know, when people look at this historically, they're looking at it and saying, no, this is actually a graphic novel. This isn't a comic book.
Yeah.
So I find that interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have any of you guys read any of these books that were listed here?
I have read Mouse several times.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I have too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've read Mouse a long time ago, probably high school age, and Watchmen.
Okay. You've read Watchmen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I've read Watchmen and Mouse, and Mouse was actually the first graphic novel that I ever picked up. And honestly, it was weird. I was like taking an after school program where it was like a writing class. Mm-hmm. And the teacher, he's actually a history teacher, but he happened to be a writer and had a bunch of published works. And he was like, you know what? I think you're really gonna like this, and like slid it to me onto my desk. And I was like, oh, okay. And then just like opening the book, I'm like, I have never seen a book that looked like this before. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Like it was really, really cool. And then on top of it, there is all this historical basis, and it was educational, if you consider it educational to some degree. As a person who was not terribly interested in history at all, here's a story format, and they're all animals that are, you know, on the page, but they're representing groups of people. And it was able to make something like the Holocaust a little bit more palatable for me, which, I don't know, I thought was really interesting. And I ended up, you know, buying all of them and have them on my shelf at home.
Yeah, so do I. And I think that Mouse was one of the novels that we discussed. I took an image and text class in grad school about graphic novels. And it was one of the ones that we discussed because of the way that it forms the narrative. Like you said, you know, that it uses animals, like the biographical structure, and I won't get on a, you know, long tangent about it, because I think it's the way that it's written and the story it tells is so unique. But I think that it does, and other graphic novels too, does something really special in the way that it's able to frame that narrative. Like you said, it brings something to the reader through image that, like you said, not being very interested in history, I wasn't either at that age, you know. So it really brought me into a story that I don't think I would have understood as well,
right,
had it been shared with me in a different format.
I honestly would never have picked up a book about World War II. I would never would have picked up a book about the Holocaust in any way. You know, I learned what I learned from school, and we all know how that goes, but. Yeah. This was a situation where it's just, here it is. This is it, you know. And I thought it was a beautiful situation, and it really did create a love for graphic novels that I still have today.
Yeah,
I approach graphic novels from a completely different entry point. Mm-hmm. I was very much a like Saturday morning cartoon into Adult Swim into the Dragon Ball manga series. Mm-hmm. And then graphic novels and manga from there. So it's always been, you know, I very much respect all of your stances on, you know, it being a good way to have a different format to embrace those sort of things. It's always been a sort of escape back to childhood for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Sure. So there's like, yeah, that's nice.
So I came into graphic novels from like manga in middle school myself. I was in a summer program and someone was like, hey, you should read this. And I was like, okay, because I would basically read anything anyone handed me. And got into them. Did not veer like really strongly into manga, but there's several series that just are very nostalgic for me. Sailor Moon became really nostalgic because I had watched the anime Cartoon Network as a kid.
My cousins loved Sailor Moon, mm-hmm. Yep.
But it was then, like, I got into that, and it was like, okay, cool. Got into high school, other things. And then in college, really got into graphic novels because it was a way that I could still read things that I wanted to read in between all of the things I was supposed to be reading for my English major and all of my activities in college and all of that. But it was also just like, it was fun. And I think that's really important. That's something that people forget about. Like, reading is supposed to be fun. And so, like, this is this format that is really appealing to people. Mm-hmm. It's very, like, there's very few people that I talk to who will say, I don't like graphic novels. They will tell you, I don't read graphic novels because, and talk about, like, they're not real books or things like that.
Sure, sure.
But very few people just are like, no, I don't like this format.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is a good time to kind of discuss what happens a little bit in the library mm-hmm. from time to time. You know, in terms of graphic novel as a format, people have their opinions, as we know. And, you know, working in youth services, it's a regular occurrence that we have families come in and say, you know, I would love for my child to read something different. Right now, all they want to read is graphic novels, and I would love for them to read something different. And so, you know, as librarians, of course, we're going to help them find something that's going to be equal to that. Mm-hmm. But then we have to kind of like dig in and figure out, like, what exactly is it about the graphic novel that's not doing it for you? And sometimes it's just, you know, the adult has a different idea about right. what they mean. So let's talk a little bit about, like, what are some of the things that we hear that, you know, people will say about graphic novels?
The biggest one for me is I want them to read a real book. Yep. And I, every time, will come back with, I understand what you mean, and let's definitely find some things for you. But I also try to encourage parents to keep letting their kids read those graphic novels still.
Absolutely.
Because there's so much that kids gain from that. And it also is just a matter of, you know, as kids enjoy what they're reading, they're going to enjoy reading. And that's a really important thing in building kids up to be readers through, you know, their teenage years and into adulthood. And I'm not saying like everybody has to read all the time, but it's just part of life. And making sure that you're kind of encouraging that decision making and that faith in there in what you want to read, I think is really important.
Sure. I think graphic novels are a great way of building literacy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, people will say, oh, well, you know, I don't want them reading picture books anymore because they're not babies. And I'm like, yeah. Well, okay, first of all, there are picture books that have content in them that are great for third and fourth graders. Just because it has pictures doesn't necessarily take away the value of what the story is. And so when we get into graphic novels, it's like sort of a similar thing where there are graphic novels that are, they are valuable to all ages. And, you know, even a child that's like, I'm just learning how to read and this is really difficult for me and it's hard. And mm-hmm. I hate that there aren't any pictures in these chapter books, which, you know, thankfully we do have a lot more crossover on that as well. But, you know, for example, my six-year-old at home, I brought her a graphic novel yesterday, mm-hmm. and she took one look at it and was like, this is the best, Mom. And, she, you know, she's reading, and she's doing really well, but I think that there's something about that graphic novel format and having, like, there's dialogue that's happening, and there's a picture, and it just moves in such a way that's very comfortable mm-hmm. for her. Yeah. And she was able to finish the book, and she was so proud of herself. And that's, like, that's the stuff that I love. When you have a child who's having a hard time or is, like, hasn't really progressed, this is practice. It's all practice. Mm-hmm. And giving them something that really appeals to them is going to make that difference between I like reading or I don't like reading.
And not to compare apples to oranges, but to piggyback off of what you said, my best friend growing up had dyslexia, and she loved to read, and she was a voracious reader, and she would like tear through like the Harry Potter series, Aragon, all these things. So she would listen to audiobooks while reading along to practice, you know, and she loved graphic novels. And she told me one time, she said, I flip through it first, and I look at the images, and I kind of get the gist of the story, and then I read the dialogue and the text along with it, mm-hmm. and pair those two things up.
Oh, wow.
So it
It's so more intuitive.
Yes, exactly. And so she would, because she was a good reader, mm-hmm. But she would practice and practice because she wanted to feel more confident. Mm-hmm. And she found graphic novels to be not only really, really fun and just enjoyable to read, like mm-hmm. you said, Killian, but it was nice to be like, I follow the story with the text and the image in a way that's has a really natural flow for her. And absolutely. She found that to be really fun and really helpful.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you both would know a lot more than me about like building literacy and literacy skills. But we were in middle school and high school. She was like voraciously reading and she yeah. loved graphic novels for that reason. Yeah.
And there are graphic novels that will, you know, have higher level vocabulary words
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Things like that because the pictures can provide the context.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, there's so much more understanding that can go into it to teach the words or the concepts that mm-hmm. than chapter books of the same level.
Yeah, I mean, a word on a page mm-hmm. that means absolutely nothing to you, but if you have a picture involved, you might actually be able to mm-hmm. sort out what that word
oh,
means
totally.
Without having to ask mom 35 times or whatever.
Well, but that kind of gets back to the definition in the encyclopedia too, where like sophisticated art or sophisticated writing for mature audiences or for adults, mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, what does that mean? There are different levels of interest. There are different levels of, you know, reading comfortability or proficiency. And so I think a lot of that combines into a particular like universe of understanding.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and the way that the images and the text work together is one of the things that I really love about this. It's not new, it's been ongoing. But the fact that we keep getting all these graphic novel adaptations of books that are much older.
Mm-hmm.
In the youth side, we have the Babysitter's Club graphic novels. We have, you know, they just started doing Sweet Valley. They've done...
They have Anne of Green Gables.
Anne of Green Gables,
we're talking
yeah.
classics, too.
Yeah, Watership Down just came out with one.
Yeah, I can't stunning. Wait. I can't wait to look
they're,
at that.
I read a couple of weeks ago, I read it a bunch of times, a manga adaptation of Jane Eyre that's fantastic.
Oh, nice.
Really
I would love that.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah.
And I think like all of these things coming out really help people connect with those original stories mm-hmm. in a different way. You see things differently. One thing, I loved Animorphs as a kid.
Yes,
they started
oh my
doing
gosh.
The Animorphs graphic novels.
Mm-hmm. Have they really?
Yeah.
How did I miss this?
And so like there was the TV show that was out when yeah. I was a kid and I was like, okay, cool. This is so cool to see this. I read the books. Great. And now seeing the graphic novel because that TV show has been long off the air.
Yeah.
But the graphic novel and kids being able to see that in a different way and kind of like the understanding of how the mechanics of morphing from human into animal work. If you're just reading the textbook, you have to figure that all out
mm-hmm. yeah.
in your head. And that's a big stretch of the imagination.
Because sure. they don't have the bad CGI TV show to watch anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But they have the book covers.
There you go. Yeah. Oh,
those are also horrifying. Yes, but, you know,
total
but I think,
nightmare fuel.
You know, things like that really help kids get into things that they might not have picked up before because mm-hmm. it's just like, what do you mean they turned into like this animal?
Yeah.
It's not the one on the cover.
Like, right.
How does that even?
Yeah. Well, it's like we said too about Mouse. It's either framing something new to you in a different way, or showing you something that maybe would have been less understandable in a way that it becomes understandable mm-hmm. through the image or through the unity of the image in the text.
Sure, absolutely. And I think it's important to also mention that there are so many graphic novels out there now. I mean, my goodness, it's a booming genre of fiction and nonfiction and all that, but the illustrations themselves are all over the place. Like you have mm-hmm. some books that are just like absolutely amazing. Like this person has spent so much time to create this one image, and mm-hmm. it is just absolutely a masterpiece. And then you have graphic novels where they're just line drawings,
yeah.
and you're still getting this idea from the art that's there. And so, you know, there's a beauty to that as well, where, you know, all of these different artists are really showcasing their differences and their ability to tell a story. you know, is it going to be something that is digitally created and took however long, or was it painted, or was it watercolor, or was it, is it three lines on a page and now you have a story?
Well, and so many of these have so many people behind the art too. There's like, there are some where it's a solo artist doing the full thing, but there's some where it's, you know, you have someone doing the line art and someone doing just the like the backgrounds and some person doing all of the color on the characters. And it's just the way it all combines is so different from thing to thing. You get just so much exposure to different types of art and different styles of art.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, I think I want to talk a little bit about like some recommendations or some books that are recommended. We have recommendations, but there's also recommendations out there. let's see. I really just want to mention, so I read a lot of adult graphic novels, but I also read kids' graphic novels. I kind of have to do both. It's part of, the job. But my recommendations generally are adult. I do like kids' graphic novels a lot.
Yeah, and I end up in teen graphic novels way more.
Oh, do you? This is gonna be a good, fair enough. All right. Well, so I would highly recommend, like, if somebody has never read a graphic novel before, what do you guys think? What are the recommendations for? I've never read a graphic novel. How do I get into this thing?
Oh, never? Oh.
I mean, my go-to is always going to be Heartstopper.
Okay.
That's my number one. That's my pinnacle.
It's on my list.
And why is it your go-to? Like, what is that? Like, what's the open the door to that? Like, why is that a good option?
It's just a sweet story.
I haven't read
story.
It yet because I want to read it too.
Yeah, it's just a really sweet story. It's a basic British high school. It's a good love story. It's really, really cute, and it doesn't try to be more than it is. You know, it started as a webcomic that was probably not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, most things don't really leave that, and it got massively popular just by being this comforting, wholesome story. It's really, really cute. The Netflix show is fantastic. It's still free and accessible on the webcomic site, and the artist is coming out with more.
Oh, that's cool.
As it goes.
Nice.
I mean, it still, you know, goes on the site first before the volumes come out. So it's a really accessible entry point.
Nice.
I like that. Nice. I do too.
I'm generally going to say, like, start with some of the things that are super popular, especially when it comes to youth graphic novels. I would say start with your Babysitter's Club, your Raina Telgemeier, just because there's a reason they're popular. They're good stories. And they're just so accessible. That being said, one of my favorite ones to recommend is This Was Our Pact by Ryan Andrews.
Oh, I love it.
Which
book.
Is just the, it's the same vibes as Spirited Away to me. Mm-hmm. And like, I love that movie. I'm obsessed with that movie.
Yeah.
And it's that same liminal space, surreal feeling reading this graphic novel as that movie has for me. So I just recommend that one because I love it.
Nice.
I would say probably the one that really struck me the first time I read it was Blankets by Craig Thompson. And I'm 99% sure he's a Michigan author, right? It's Michigan, not Wisconsin.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's Michigan.
It's a Midwest thing.
It's a Midwest thing. It's pure Midwest. I'm like, oh, it's pure Michigan in my head. And I'm like, wait a minute. Anyway, but it has a really, the art is very beautiful, but it's a very intimate, very real, very gentle story about figuring out who you are and what you're about and what you believe and what you don't believe and connecting with other people. And it's just really, I don't know, there's something about it that just really struck me. It's a very thoughtful novel. Another one that's a rougher read emotionally, or was for me, is Stitches by David Smalls, or David Small. And the thing I really like about that novel is that he doesn't, and this sounds really weird to say, but he does not shy away from ugliness in his art. And that's really important, I think, when you're talking about things that are difficult or things that are scary or things that hurt you. Mm-hmm. And I think framing difficult things in a more palatable way isn't always useful. And I think that he really leans into the reality of hardship by presenting it through ugliness. Mm-hmm. It's a very strong novel. I think it's a hard read, but it's definitely a good one.
Absolutely. Well, in terms of kids' books, I would recommend El Defo by C.C. Bell. That's a biography, and it's very, very well done. It's about a girl who's deaf, and it has this wonderful turn of events that happens. She was going to a deaf school, but then she gets moved to a school with hearing children, and she's got this machine that she's got to wear so that she can hear her teachers, and she feels very alienated and very different because now she's around all these children that can hear, and she's, you know, not with her friends, and she realizes that her machine and her disability actually is a super ability, and she uses it to her advantage and becomes very popular because of it. And it's just it's a beautiful, wonderful, very heartfelt story, and I would highly recommend that. And then also Neil Gaiman Sandman series.
Of course.
So Neil is pretty well known in the graphic novel community.
Yep.
Many of his books started off as a graphic novel or have been adapted to a graphic novel after writing. And so Sandman is probably it's just amazing. It's absolutely amazing. You have to buckle up for that one. There's a lot. There's a lot to read. The art is amazing. There were so many people that worked on those books with him. And that was very, very definitely, it was a comic. I mean, it was something that was coming out periodically, and then they've packaged them quite nicely at this point. And then, of course, you know, we have is a Netflix series, and it's beautiful. I can't believe that they did it. I'm so happy.
And it's getting a season two soon.
And it's getting a season two. Oh, thank goodness. Oh, thank goodness. So, yeah, I would recommend Sandman or El Defo.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice.
All right, well, I have a little list here. I don't know. Has anybody read Monstrous by Marjorie Liu and Sana Takeda? Mm-mm.
Why does this sound familiar to me?
It's beautiful. It is absolutely stunning. And we do have it at the library, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll have to check that out. Because it sounds familiar, but I don't know if I've read it or not.
It is, very fantasy Art Deco. It's got monsters and monsters and monsters.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it's called Monstrous, for Pete's sakes. So Monstrous is really great. We've got it in adult services at the library. Let me see what else is on here.
I did love American Born Chinese and looking over at your paper.
Oh, okay.
Anything Jean Lun Yang has been a huge hit for me. American Born Chinese was one that I was assigned in school. I don't remember for what class anymore.
Okay.
But it was a really, really good depiction of being a first generation immigrant.
Okay.
It got a Disney Plus show, which was decent.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I didn't realize it was that old.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got Ghost World on here. Has anybody read Ghost World?
I have not.
No.
No, you haven't. Okay. Have you seen the movie? Mm-mm. That was with Steve Buscemi and that one girl. Okay, anyway, Ghost World is pretty great. That's a very interesting illustration style that I think is, it's a great graphic novel because it doesn't look like other graphic novels, and I think it kind of started a new way of kind of telling a story in a way. What else is on here? We've got Heartstopper. Mouse is on this list. Mm-hmm. Let's see. March.
I think I saw the Magic Fish on there.
Magic Fish is on here. Yeah, so March, that is all about John Lewis and his political life as an activist with MLK Jr. and the civil rights movement. So that's like a nonfiction, you know, graphic novel, which I do want to emphasize that there really is a graphic novel for just about everybody.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. What else is on here? Well, Persepolis is another one. Persepolis?
Polis.
I should say that correctly. Persepolis. The Complete Persepolis by Marjane Satrapi. I've read that. It's pretty amazing.
I've read the first half.
You read the first half.
I've read the first half of that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So we've got a bunch of awesome graphic novels at the library. And, you know, come in and check it out. Definitely talk to one of the librarians there. A lot of us read graphic novels. And if they don't, then they can at least direct you to one of us that can show you some good stuff to read.
Yeah, they're some of my favorite things to recommend. So I'd love to have more people come in and looking for them.
Yeah, same. So please come find us. Come talk to us about them. And we'd love to show you the shelves.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Distracted Librarians.
If you have any questions or suggestions, feel free to reach out to us at distracted@btpl.org.
Until then, keep those pages turning and those screens lighting up.
We'll catch you in the next episode.